In this short, we are going to cover bad reasons for believing that the Genesis story is not literal. And so for this, we're going to focus on the literal 7 days. But honestly, I could focus on any number of things. But this is mostly what people talk about these days when they talk about the literal nature of the creation story. So bad reason number one is that we obviously know that evolution was a part of the process and it took billions of years. Therefore, God cannot lie. He cannot make a mistake. And so he must by necessity have meant days to be billions of years. That's the first argument that we're going to need to destroy. This is the difference between exegesis and eisegesis. With exegesis, you are looking at the text and letting that inform your outside knowledge. With eisegesis, you're taking your outside knowledge, evolution in billions of years, and letting that inform your understanding of the text. Ken Ham and I believe that exegesis is the right method to apply. But there are other issues that have to be addressed, such as, for instance, assuming that the original writers had the same understanding that we do. You know, they meant billions of years because we know that billions of years is true. And so they must have known it too. And that is simply not the cosmology of ancient people. We cannot impose modern understandings of cosmology on ancient understandings of cosmology. But then you say, well, but God was leading these writers, and so they would not have made mistakes. But here the Christian must make a decision and run into a major piece of cognitive dissonance, because they say, almost all of them, even the conservative ones, that God did not, you know, ghostwrite the text. In other words, he didn't put his writers in some kind of fugue state and then guide their hands to write things that they were not aware of or didn't know. These were people, and they were using their understanding of words and phrases and sentences and their knowledge of the world to write things down that God inspired them to write. So you have to decide, were they using their understanding to write things down, or did God put them in some kind of fugue state and then somehow dictate every word and movement of their hand? You can't have it both ways. And so we can't use eisegesis to import our knowledge and preferences into the text. And we cannot use fake exegesis to say that, well, these human writers had our understanding, or that God somehow made them write things that they didn't understand and didn't really know that they were writing and left them confused and that sort of thing. You can't do that either and have your other doctrine that God didn't actually directly dictate scripture. So to wrap up this part of the argument, I believe that what is happening is that old earth creationists, I should just say some old earth creationists, believe that the earth took a very, very long time to bake, that the universe took a very, very long time, on the order of 13.7 billion years to bake. They believe that because they are following the science and they are doing good science. And so they come to that conclusion. However, they come to it with a commitment that the Bible cannot be wrong. And I think that part of the problem with this debate is that no one is seriously considering the possibility that the Bible might just be wrong. Now, I believe that the Bible is wrong. All right. I believe it's just wrong about that. And I came to believe that while I was still a Christian, which was really problematic. But I had to be honest with the data. This is what the Bible says. This is what I've always been taught that the Bible says. I see this other position of what the Bible could be saying that never did fit well with me. I always had the option to change my opinion about what the Bible was saying. And that never was intellectually honest for me. And so a lot of people approach this with the idea that the Bible cannot be wrong. So what they end up doing is harmonizing, which is to change one to suit the other. And what they have done is alter their view of the Bible to suit their view of evolution. And again, that is a path of intellectual dishonesty that I was not able in good conscience to take. Okay, the next reason, and I had three, but I think I'll just close it off with this one, and I'll just incorporate my other reason into my next program when I start talking about positive reasons why I believe that the Genesis story should be taken literally, just from a literary point of view, that the writers were intending it to be taken literally. But I think one of the bad reasons, in fact, one of the worst reasons to believe that it shouldn't be taken literally and that the literalists are wrong is because of the word yom, and we have all heard this by now, that the Hebrew word for day, by the way, Hebrew is certainly not my strong suit, so I have to go with experts on this, that the Hebrew word for day can have multiple meanings. Right, big deal, because the English word can have multiple meanings for day as well. That's going to be true in lots of languages, I'm sure. So we can just look at English usages of the word day. We don't even have to go to yom, and you can just take my word that it is very similar in this way. We can use day to describe the reign of a king, in the day of King George, King Philip. We're not talking about a 24-hour day. We're talking about during his reign. We're not even talking about the time in his life before his reign. So it's a non-specific period of time, but specific enough to be talking about the reign of King Philip. How many days are we talking about? Well, that's irrelevant, right? How many days or years? His reign could have been short. His reign could have actually been a 24-hour day, or it could have been 50 years, right? So in that way, mathematically, day is non-specific. We might talk about the days of the Ice Age, you know, and we might say days there because English has evolved so that we're much more specific about things like that. But we're not talking about days, really, as in 24-hour days. We're talking about the time period, the epoch, if you will, of the Ice Age, eons of Ice Age, right? We're talking about a particular epoch, a particular time in cosmic history, in Earth history. But we might also speak of day in terms of cosmic history. We might say that, seize the day. Maybe the day refers to 24 hours, but it also could just mean seize the moment. Take advantage of this moment without regard to a rising and setting of the sun. And so you can see that we use the word day in lots of different ways. We use it poetically, differently than we would use it in a legal document. In a legal document, day is going to be much more its primary function of identifying a 24-hour period. Whereas in poetry, it could be a lot of things. In allegory, it could be a lot of things. In history, not so much. It's probably closer to legal language unless it's kind of specified by the text. So this is kind of the argument that, day, the word yom, it can mean so many things. There are options for it. And so, you can't say that it must mean 24-hour day, because it could mean all these other things too. Well, great. But if you're going to use that argument, you really can't read the Bible or any piece of literature at all. Because, you know, I would guess that more than half the words we use, probably more than 80% of the words that we use and that are used in literature, can have more than one meaning. They almost certainly do have more than one meaning, more than three meanings. Every single word in a sentence will have more than one meaning, or certainly usage. You can talk about its primary definition, but we use these words differently, you know. So we could say something like, a bad man did a bad thing. And you can't claim that you are completely confused and that there's no way to know what is meant. Because, you see, bad can mean good. I don't doubt that it can. However, just the sentence, even without any further context, a bad man did a bad thing, it is right for you to judge that I am talking about a person of ill character did a thing that is harmful. A bad man did a bad thing. Exactly the way it sounds. Context is king, you see. This is not a Michael Jackson song, right? So you can't take that, and it would be wrong to say, well, maybe it means that a good man did a good thing, or a bad man did a good thing, or a good man did a bad thing. No, we know exactly what it means because we understand the language and the culture to which it was spoken. We understand these things, which is why we're able to communicate at all. You can take any one of the sentences that I have been saying lately and find words that could have multiple meanings, and yet you know exactly what I'm talking about, because we do share language. Well, if you say that the writers of the Bible used language in a way so far into us that there's just no way to choose between multiple definitions of what a word could mean, then I don't know why you're going through the exercise of reading the Bible at all. It's pointless. I don't know why you go through the exercise of reading anything at all, or having any kind of communication that is not live with a person who can clarify things. I don't know why you bother with that at all. So I just think that is a pretty bad argument on its face, because it ignores all of the ways that the word is used contextually to tell you exactly what is meant by the word. It pretends like there's no context here. We can't use the context to figure it out. And if that is true, then we just all must throw our hands up in surrender. But the side who says the Bible is talking about an old earth doesn't throw their hands up in surrender. No, no, no. They say positively that it does mean a long period of time, a long age. And what is the evidence that they use? Mainly the evidence they use is, we know the earth is old and that the Bible can't be wrong. And so that must be the flavor of the word that is intended. I think that's a terribly bad argument when it comes right down to it. The confusion on the word yom and what it means, I think, is mostly false. And I know that this is a controversial opinion. I think it's fake. I think it's fake confusion by people who need there to be some confusion about that passage so that they could import some other things into the text under the cloak of that confusion. Well, when I get to my positive reasons for believing that Ken Ham is right about how he reads the Bible and that the Genesis story is intended to be taken literally, I will deal with some of those contextual clues. But right now, this concludes this particular short news stories will stack up. I might throw one in here and there. But for the remainder of the week, expect me to continue this series on why I think the Genesis story should be taken literally. Until next time, I'll see you in the comments. And in the meantime, I'm out.